Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and most merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness for all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord of the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises.
Sing to the Lord with the harp, with the harp and the sound of a psalm.
Election for this evening is recorded in St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These last weeks of the church year, and also going into Advent, our attention is focused on the last days, on the coming judgment. I would suppose that one of the questions that can really arise for an assembly made up primarily of young people, is whether or not such a long, drawn-out focus on this theme, the last day and death, is really worthwhile or is really relevant to the business that is before us, living our lives in this world and getting an education. The focus of many of these lessons, also our lesson this evening, is on the eschaton. That's the Greek word for last, and it stands for that day spoken of in Scripture, which will mark the end of all things, the day when the righteous judge pronounces judgment on each one who has ever been born into the world. And it's of that day that St. Paul has reminded us, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, it's tempting for us to think about this great final judgment in the abstract. That is, about a thing about which we may be generally curious, but which hardly involves me, the individual, in my life, the way I'm living it right now. But if we come to this great proclamation with only that abstraction in mind, then we have quite missed the point. Because that day does meet each one of us when we stand before God in death, a day which also for us comes like a thief in the night. The insurance company averages 70 or 80 years may agree with the Bible's 70 or by reason of strength 40 years. But we all know that that's just an average, and that we may stand before God in our own deaths, falling asleep in Jesus, yet in our teens, as young adults, as a young father or mother, or as a middle-aged person. And that judgment into which we enter at the death of our flesh to the world is part and parcel of that great judgment of the last day. It's all from a whole piece of cloth. And for each one of us, the question can only be whether or not we can stand before our God on that day. Do I stand before Him with what I do? Do I stand before Him at least having tried? Do I stand before Him with my love? Do I stand before Him with my work? Do I stand before Him with my faith? Or do I stand before Him with the gift that He has given, the righteousness of His Son in His living and His dying and His rising, the righteousness of His Son which is grasped only by faith, the faith which is nothing other than a gift of His grace, the faith which is created and sustained by the power of His word and sacraments. This great judgment comes at the last day. It's in the future, and we look forward to it in time. But it's not so future that it's not relevant to my life here and now. It's not so future that it doesn't have anything to do with me today, tonight, or any night. The judgment, in one sense, has already come. It came in eternity when God chose me in Christ and has come to me in time, when Jesus becomes a man, when He stands in time in my place, and in time He bears the wrath of God's condemning justice. The judgment has come in all of that. It came when I was baptized and made His own, and that judgment comes to me every single day when I come under the condemnation of sin and am brought to repentance to receive His forgiveness, His absolution anew. Your sins are forgiven. The import for each of us, then, as we contemplate the end of all things, is that we come to live daily under his repentance and under his promise. When we stand before his judgment, daily and at the end of time, the question is not the Santa Claus question, have you been bad or good? The question rather is, do I live under his grace and forgiveness or not? Do I hold out my own righteousness? Do I hold out the quality of my own life for him to accept? Or do I hold out my empty hands and receive by faith what he has to give, the righteousness of his Son and the forgiveness of sins? Only in his continuous absolution do I have the peace with which I can stand before him in judgment. Indeed, all of the proclamation of the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in word and sacrament is directed exactly to that I may stand before him on that last day. It is, as Dr. Luther said, the Holy Spirit must continue to work in us through the Word, daily granting forgiveness until we attain to that life where there will be no more forgiveness. In that life are only perfectly pure and holy people, full of goodness and righteousness, completely freed from sin, death, and all evil, living in new, immortal, and glorified bodies. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Our Lord will come to wake us up from our sleep or to meet us in our waking hours. Whatever it may be, his promise before us is a real promise. And it is for now. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Believe that promise. Amen.
Thank you.
abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and